again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where it is all good in Jesus' name. Yes, I know. Life takes twists and turns. Things come, things go. This dimension, this paradigm is transitory. I.e., that means every one of us is passing through. And so for the window of time that you're here, it's probably a good thing to make sure that what your time is spent doing is that which is important, that which has lasting value, that which ultimately our Creator, the one that made us, the one that fashioned us, the one that designed us, the one that gave us reason for existing and being in the first place, that whatever it is that we do would line up with His priorities. And what it is that He says, this is indeed important, this indeed has value, this indeed is something that you should be spending your time and your energy on. You know, this world and this life is a bit of a paradox. There's a lot of ironies, you know, of what it is to be here in this life. You know, I had a number of people have written me about loss of my dog. Yeah, that was sad. I had a great, 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 fantastic dog named Max. And, yeah, you know, it's... But one thing in that whole thing was just the fact that, he was bitten by a snake. In Sri Lanka, we have cobras and vipers and all kinds of things like that. So, but here's something to take away from that whole situation. Yeah, life is quick, and this window of time here is quick. And you know, sometimes some things seem like, you know, you would think, all right, hey, a dog is gonna live, 10 years. You've got some time, you know, you've got, and maybe you don't. You know, people live their lives here so often in this world like they're not going to be, like this is all there is and they're not going anywhere. There's an irony to that because, you know, I don't think most people that I know and that I meet are ready to die, are ready to pass on from this life into the next. I don't think that they've prepared themselves, because if they had, one, they wouldn't feel uncomfortable about the subject matter. Two, there would be a peace already. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "A man is not a man until he has something he's willing to die for." And you know, there's a truth, there's a profound truth in that when there's something that is greater than yourself, that you've committed your life and your existence and your being to, you know, you step in, you cross into now being more of what it is that you were intended to be in the first place. But when people live their lives for selfishness, when they live their lives for themselves, when they live their lives for their own personal agendas, at the expense of others, they become a bunch of just, if it was in star terms, a bunch of black holes running around that just suck the life and the energy out of everything. And very destructive people. Now, you know, the world and the world system and the enemy of our soul, the devil, he understands that, which is why he feeds people selfishness. And you know, the thing about selfishness and the thing about being self-serving in general is that it never ends. When you go down a path of selfishness, when you go down the path of living your life for yourself and not for truth, not for the kingdom, not for, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, which is what you're supposed to do, which is what the path of life entails. If you go down a path of self-love and of love for the world and the world system, you know what you get there is you get these moments of happiness, but incredible emptiness. No peace, no fulfillment, no joy, no know anything, really. It's an empty existence, and that's one reason why they have to constantly sedate themselves. Because if you had to actually stop and think about what you were doing, stop and realize the hurt that you do to your fellow man and to so many other people by living that life and that lifestyle, you know, it drive you insane. No, it is a shame because, you know, right now in the world, you know, there are leaders sitting around tables trying to figure out how to solve what they perceive as global problems without the voice of God being invited into that situation. And because the voice of God is not invited, because the face of God is not sought, when there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what happens when world leaders try to seek solutions without consulting God and without His word, His approval, His direction, they end up picking paths and picking ways that will destroy and lead to death and to destruction. And they think it's fine. You know that whole thing about the greater good? Oh my gosh, that is a satanic mantra. It's all about the greater good, right? So you can do all of these horrible, 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 detestable things because in the end, it's going to be for the better. It's going to be for the greater good, right? Nope, wrong. Because you know what? You start going down that path and you end up, you never get to that greater good. You just end up through one after the other step, a successive step of just evil. Just really, really terrible evil. Hurting other people. Destroying other people. It doesn't stop. Whereas in the kingdom, it's not about the end result. It is about obedience to the king. See, we live our lives in connection with the King of Kings. And for us, our role, our responsibility is to obey. He leads, He guides, He directs. Our responsibility is purely to obey. Because the results are in His hands. And when you start to understand that, look, it's obedience is the key thing. When you start to understand that that is the name of it, that's the name of our role. The byproduct of that is peace. The byproduct of that is fulfilling what God's plan and purpose is for you. The byproduct of that is you're starting to come into it. You're actually moving now into the direction that God intended. See, when they refuse to do that which God has put them to do, there is no peace. When people refuse to do what God has instructed them to do, there is no peace. There is no resolution. There is no resolve. There is no direction. There is no... You know, I know sometimes what happens is like people keep wondering, okay, what is it that God wants me to do? And they keep wondering and wondering and wondering. Well, what was the last thing that God told you to do? Because whatever the last thing was that God told you to do, you probably should do that before you then go on and say, okay, what's the next thing that He wants you to do? Because so often people don't do the last instruction, and then now they're waiting for a new one. No, just do what God puts in front of you to do, and realize that this life is quick. This life is transitory. You know, we're not here for very long. And so it's not about having a perfect existence here. It's not about having a perfect situation or a perfect setup. The perfect home, the perfect vehicle, the perfect partner, the perfect job, the perfect whatever. No, it's not about that. It's about lining up with the Spirit of God and living each day according to His plan and purpose. That's it. There's, what else is there? You know, what else is there? You know, we come through this life we come through this life very fast. And, you know, in the process of coming through this life in this world, you don't want to really... I mean, because this life is so short, why do you want to waste time? Why do you want to waste time in something that's not Him? Why do you want to waste time in something that doesn't have lasting value, doesn't have eternal purpose? You know, I mean, think about it. If the purpose of life, if the entire purpose of life was something, whatever it was, and you spent maybe 5 minutes of your life actually in that something, and the rest of it, you know, doing whatever, how would you feel when this life was over? And you found out that you missed the exact purpose that was really the reason you're supposed to be here. You know, people oftentimes, they don't stop and they don't ever ask those questions. They go from distraction to distraction, from one thing to the next. And by the time they're done with life, it's at that stage. You know, it's in those times when people, usually it's with the passing of a loved one or a friend, that's when people start to reflect a bit. That's the time when all of a sudden now they start to ask these questions. And you know, there's going to be more of that in the day to come, because we move now into a season of upheaval around the world. And at the same time, God is going to protect and God is going to uplift His children, His servants. Which is going to be an irony, because the world will go down and God's people will go up. And that's just the way that He shows that He's in control. Yeah. You know, it is incredible to me how, you know, I can do all kinds of things, but whenever I start to do these words, how I start to get very lethargic and very tired. Oh, these attacks are always interesting. So, you know, it is a challenging time right now, because, you know, you will be tested, and you're going to be tested in ways that you wouldn't choose them for yourself, but it's part and parcel of the path that God has for you. Now, when you go through these tests, you need to go through them the right way. You need to go through them His way. Part of what that is don't complain. Look at it as a challenge. Remember what the scripture says. When consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. When you face these tests and these trials, when they are orchestrated and they're in something that ends up happening to you, take it as it comes. Praise God when you're in the middle of it. Learn to thank Him. Learn to praise Him. Learn to express gratitude to Him in the midst of that, especially when you face persecution for being one of His. Especially when the test that comes against you is something against you just purely for no other reason than the fact that you are one of God's. Because that is the best place that you can be. And yes, it's a challenge, and yes, it's not nice. On a natural level, it's not nice. It's not nice when people persecute you for only doing good to them. You do good, you're trying to do the right thing, and they come after you. That's not a nice thing. Of course it's not. But even in that situation, if you can learn, even in that situation, to then be kind, to then continue to thank God in that situation, to then, like Scripture says, when your enemy's hungry, feed him. When he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In that way, you, it's like heaping hot coals on their head. You know, it's like, because why? Because they know that they would kill you if they had the opportunity, or they would destroy you, or they deny opportunity to you. And yet when the shoe's on the other foot and they're in need and they see your response, the conviction is so deep. And you know what? It can be fun. You can have fun with it. You know, you can have fun blessing people. You can have fun being a blessing to others. You can have fun making sure that others are taken care of. And God will use you to go through this life, to tag, i.e. be His witnesses in all types of situations. And the way that people relate to you is the way that they relate to one of His representatives, because you are an ambassador of Christ in this life and in this world. And the way that they relate to you is the way they relate to Him. So, you know, that is quite an adventure. So, you know, you don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to line up everything the way that you think. Just trust Him. Take it one day at a time. And, you know, also, look, you're meant to enjoy this life. There is a joy that is there for God's people in all that we go through and all that we experience. If you're not experiencing that joy, then take it to Him and ask Him, Lord, you said in your word, you came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. What am I missing? Ask Him, because He'll show you. You know, one thing that most people are missing is that the fact that the abundant life in Christ is not determined by your external circumstances. It's not determined by your external situation. You know, so often people, they're waiting for something outside to fix, to be right, to come into place, so that they can now be happy, so that they can now have joy, so they can now have peace. And it's not about that. You know, that was one wonderful lesson that God taught me, you know, years ago, was that my state of being inside is not determined by my external situation. And a switch can take place on the inside, no matter what situation that I'm in. A switch can take place on the inside that I can be in a terrible situation and God can make it something beautiful. Even though the outside hasn't changed, inside something can change. And God can let you see things through His perspective, His eyes, and He can make it what was something very difficult, something very beautiful, and give you the grace and the power to come through it. Oh, wow. You know what? It is all good in Christ. You can't worry. You cannot worry in the situation that you're in. You know, so often people, the things that they fret about, things they worry about, look, give it a week, nobody will care. Give it 2 weeks, everybody will have forgotten. And yet people take stress into their lives on a level that, for what? For what? You know? I mean, relax. You know, actually, even if you can learn to relax in general, it's a good thing. Because, when I think back to sports, you know, one thing in sports that most people never learn, and it takes a long time for people to master this, is learning to relax at top speed. Because if you carry tension, if you tighten up, especially if you're trying to sprint, you fatigue much quicker and you also slow yourself down more. If you ever see like the top sprinters in the world, in whatever discipline they're in, they at the top speed they look like they're doing it effortlessly. But it's because they've learned to relax at that speed. You can go fast and strong and hard and exceptionally quick and still be relaxed. And you know, God wants his people to, you know, I believe that there was a principle there as well that was good for me, because I learned, you know, for myself, it's like, okay, I need to learn, you know, to not hold anything. You know, forgiveness is an important principle in that process as well. When you learn to forgive, you're not holding anything. When you learn to forgive, you release. Nothing's holding you back from that race that God would have for you. So, yes, unforgiveness can be a block. It can be a burden. It can be a hindrance. It can be something that keeps you from what it is that God has for you. You know, a lot of people, they hold things in their hearts. They hold things that they don't need to hold. You know, one thing that God really, he was very gracious to me and is teaching me some things about unforgiveness in particular. And, you know, one thing about something like that is that, you know, in your flesh doesn't have it to forgive people. Your flesh wants revenge. It wants vindiction. It wants... hold on a second. You know, your flesh, it wants... you know, for somebody else, if you've been hurt, your flesh wants someone else to hurt as well. If you've had a problem, your flesh wants other people. Misery loves company is the way the flesh works. What God calls people to is the work of the Spirit, which is the work of the Spirit is that God, by his grace, empowers you to do what you cannot do in your flesh. But the one thing that you have to do in that process is you have to set your will to forgive. So it's quite incredible, really, because, you know, unless you choose it, the first part is to choose what is against, which is contrary to the nature of your flesh. You choose that first, and once you've chosen that, the Spirit of God gives you the power than to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. See, God doesn't... He won't ask you to do anything that he doesn't then equip you to do. So if he asks you to do something, it's because he's also going to give you the power, the grace, to do that. So now, grace is God's omnipotent power working on our behalf. His unlimited power working on our behalf. So when scriptures discuss the grace of God, you know, it is his unlimited power that works on our behalf in the situations that we're in. So when you align yourself with the Spirit of God, you put yourself in a position where his power now can flow through you to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. If you're out of position, you now are not in a place where his grace can work through you. You're now in a place where you're stuck trying to do what the rest of the world is trying to do, which is something based on your own power, your own ability, your own resource, your own whatever. That's not a good way to be. And then what happens is when people in the world are cut off and out of position, and when they're trying to do it on their own and it doesn't work, then what they end up doing is then they end up trying to get demonic power and worldly power to give them a boost. But that's limited as well, and usually the way that that stuff works is that you've got to do some horrible things in order to get more power, and which just solidifies being cut off, and it's just a downward spiral. It's just a terrible situation. No, the best thing you can do is align yourself with the Spirit of God, allow his power to work in and through you, and in that process of doing that, he's going to equip you for the journey that you're in. Now, you know, we as a people, you know, we're in a very interesting time, because we're in a time where there's a lot of change, there's a lot of flux, there's opportunities, there's pitfalls, there's a lot of things coming your way now that's never ever happened before. And You know, in this process, it's making good decisions, good choices, which you cannot do if it were not for the Spirit of God that's quickening you. Now, you know, how now do we live is always a question. You know, how now do we live? How now do we go through what it is that we're facing? Because that is a challenge. You know, this life, to walk with Christ in and through this life and to be what God intended you to be, that is a challenge. You know, that's the test of this life. You know, so often people are looking for, they want the quick fix, they want the easy way. And, you know, part of that how now do we live is in obedience to the will of the Spirit of God as He reveals it to you. So when He says left, you go left. When He says right, you go right. He says stop, you stop. Go, you go. I mean, it's you live in that spot of just complete obedience, because there's freedom in that. You know, one of the freedoms is that you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to make things work. You don't have to make things happen. He just knows where He wants you. And what happens with that is so often is that things will change. Things will shift. He'll have you doing something for 2 years. He'll change it entirely, and then you'll do something completely different for the next 2 years. I mean, that's something I've always loved, you know, in walking with Christ, is that, see, if you don't let yourself have to be bound to anything in this world, you can actually take the adventures of life as they come. Because the Spirit of God will quicken you for them, and in the process of Him quickening you for them, you're free to experience the different things that this life has. See, when people don't trust God, then they try to make things work for themselves. And when they try to make things work for themselves, they pick a reality that they think is going to be the best one. And then as soon as they get something that has a semblance of working, they hold on to that with everything that they got, because they're so afraid to lose that. They're so afraid of what the loss of that might be. And then they get a mortgage, they get a house, you know, they get that house payment, the car payment, have a couple of kids, get sort of locked in, and then pretty soon that's it. They can't think straight anymore. They can't make a decision as the Spirit of God would lead them, because they're so locked in. But whatever situation that you're in, when God calls you, He also shows you how to move with Him in that time. And you got to have a willingness for that, because if you don't, you're going to cut yourself off by your own free will from what it is that God's plan and purpose is for you. See, He's got a purpose for His people. He has a purpose for what it is that you and I do in the window of time that we're here. It has reason. It has significance. It has eternal ramifications. But it requires that you line yourself up with Him. You can't do it half-heartedly. You know, you can't do it in a partial way. The only way for us to walk this thing out is in complete obedience to Him. And, you know, that requires a commitment from our side. You know, most people are afraid of that commitment because they're afraid of the responsibility that it might entail to follow Christ like that. They're afraid of Him actually having expectation from Him. They're afraid of expectation coming from God towards them. But here's the irony there too, is that, you know, look, He already sees everything you do, and you give an account of your life to Him anyways. Why would you restrain yourself from the One that loves you and is trying to show you the best way? You know, I do like the fact that God didn't override our free will, and that He allows us to make choice and decision. But with that comes responsibility and consequences for our actions. You know, I had a friend used to tell me, he said, you can choose to do whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. And it's very true. You can choose to do whatever you want, you just cannot choose the consequences. You cannot choose the outcome. And that's why God instructs people, look, choose life. You know, choose the right way. It is your choice. You get to pick. But he's like, choose life, because if you choose life, you now choose that which is going to be a blessing to you. You choose now that which, you know, you might not understand the outcome, but it's going to be a good outcome because he's in control. It's going to be a good outcome because you're doing that which is in line with his word, that which is in line with his will, and he blesses that. You know, God blesses that which is in line with his will. And that which is out of line with the will of God is stuck under the wrath of God. So, you know, it's a good thing. You know, all of this stuff is a good thing. You know, God makes a way for people. And he wants people to, he wants them to have an abundant life. But they have to choose it. And most people refuse to choose it because they don't really realize what it is. They're still confused. And they live their lives just separate from what God has for them. You know, if you have any questions, you can go to God direct. You know, one thing we do here is we work to point people towards Christ, because we don't want you following us. You know, we don't want you looking to us to be something that only God can be for you. No, this for what we do here is just a resource. You grab what you need and you move on. You know, it's right there for those that have a heart for it, but you grab what you need and you move on. Because you're in a journey, and our desire is that you in this journey would be strengthened for that which is to come. And you know, don't worry. You know, don't worry about anything, because he's in control. You know, don't worry about anything, because you know, he said, "Sufficient for today is the evil thereof." You know, don't worry. I know that for some people that can get hard, because they're perplexed by what they see going on around them, and they don't really have any solution for what they're facing. But, you know, just, you gotta trust him. You know, you gotta trust him in whatever it is that you're in, and know that he's got your best interest at heart. Yeah, know that he's taking care of you. No, it's a good day. So, you know, in the process of things being a good day, remember, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice where you are. Thank God for what it is that you have and what it is that he's done in and through your life, seen and unseen. And just bless your brothers and sisters. Bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless the people that you know, need that in this next season that we're coming into. Be, you know, be above it. You can be. And let your life and your light so shine. Because God has called you to shine. So, hey, love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. And hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. And we'll catch up again sometime soon. All right, hey, God bless you. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.